Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you're extremely welcome to our podcast today, NARCCon, which is going to take a slightly spiritual aspect in relation to the narcissistic personality disorder. As most of you are aware that are regular listeners, we deal with the psychological aspects of what to expect from this personality disorder and also delve into the spiritual connotation of what to expect and what it does to us and our spiritual health and life. And before I get into this, would you believe Remy was the other side of the camera and ring light? And I said to him, would you mind going on the sofa, Rem, because people would like to see you? And he got up immediately and went to the sofa. I just think he's like unbelievable. I know some people want to see him. So that's why I asked him, would he get into the podcast? Without further ado, let's get into this rather darker side of the narcissist and the way they live their spiritual life. And I will add, I don't know if this is the right word, addendum to this, and just say, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, it's no one is without the old-fashioned term or biblical term sin. We all do bad things. We all do wrong things. We all could do better. But the narcissist is living their life in the faith of sin. That's the best way I can describe it. And they won't acknowledge that they're doing wrong, even though they know they're doing wrong because they can see that people are hurt by their actions. And what they do is they justify the reasons that they do wrong. But unfortunately, as the old Indian proverb goes, what we have two wolves in us, the bad wolf and the good wolf, and the wolf you feed more you become or takes over the way you live your life. And the narcissistic personality is set up to need to control every situation, to need to be better than everybody else, to wear a false mask, not be true to themselves, and also to deny accountability for any wrongdoing because they must uphold and maintain this air of superiority. So I'm going to go through seven sins of the narcissist, which is really a map of the way they conduct themselves throughout their lives, unfortunately. So if anyone is thinking or missing a narcissist and thinking, you know, if only I could go back and we could try again, I could help or improve this person. This person is set up to live their lives like this, unfortunately. You can't help them. If you try and go back and help them, you will be attacked for having the audacity to think that you're superior to them in any way. So let's get into it. The first sin I have down is the sin of covetousness, or covetousness, is they covet what you have in your life. And that may be, and generally is, your material status or your status in life, your job or how you look, something to that effect that they want to actually own instead of you or take possession of. The second part of that is they actually covet who you are, even though they don't agree with the way you live your life. They think you're stupid for being kind, you know, crazy for letting someone take what maybe could have been yours. They don't admire that type of thinking. However, they do covet the reward of that type of thinking. They covet the way you live your life, seemingly really happy and at peace. They covet the fact that you're popular, and they covet the fact that your friends are really loyal to you. they don't seem to put two and two together and say, well, it's because you're kind and generous and a lovely person. And again, there's no saints out there, but I'm just saying when someone lives their life more in the way of trying to be good and in the faith rather than very much down the spectrum of narcissism and psychopathy and sociopathy. So I'm terrible with words. So covetousness, to covet, the narcissist is all the time coveting what other people have as well, even strangers, even say a work colleague who might just announce that they're going on holiday to a nice destination. That person will be downed to you in conversation when the narcissist comes home, and the narcissist will want to then book a holiday or a vacation that's either the same or better than that person. That is how emotionally immature this type of living is. So they're never happy. And I've done podcasts on this. They're never happy. It's always about wanting more, but never being full. It's like they can't keep that peace or contentedness or happiness that normal people are able to maintain in their life, obviously with ups and downs, but they can't be happy with what they have in any given moment. Or it might be a split second moment that they think great, but then they're feeling bad again because there's always somebody else they perceive as having more than them, and that person doesn't deserve what they have because the narcissist is entitled and feels that that should be theirs. Number two, the second sin of the narcissist is, just to follow on to what I'm saying, they're jealous and envious of others, always, never a time, even when they get to the very top. Even the billionaire narcissist is jealous and envious of what somebody else has and wants that from them. There is no filling a narcissist up. It's a continual quest, a continual destruction, a continual wanting of what others have. Now, they will also, if you have a narcissist in your life, particularly in an intimate relationship, they will want you to be jealous of somebody else wanting them. And they will actually go about setting that up. Because if you're not jealous of somebody else wanting them, in their very simplistic black and white thinking, then you don't actually love them. And jealousy is also a tool of manipulation for the narcissist to get you to appreciate them more, to go the extra mile for them, because they put you in a kind of a competitive stance, taking you totally away from any real love or spirituality that you would have lived in prior to this relationship. It's triggering things that are unfamiliar in your way of living, in your faith of life. And it's making you, or attempting to make you, feel as dissatisfied as the narcissist actually is. Because again, with the black and white thinking, if you're jealous and dissatisfied, the narcissist isn't. It's like projecting that onto you gives the narcissist relief from that continual gnawing dark feeling, and it makes them feel empowered, which, as I've said many times, is the best they can get in relation to what we call the state of happiness. Number three, deceitfulness figures highly in a narcissist's life. First of all, they deceive themselves because they're not living their true life, their true self and their true potential, because they rejected the fault or rejected the ability to introspect within themselves, to see fault in themselves, to grow personally in any way. They deceive people they meet in future faking people into believing that the relationship with the narcissist is going to be very fruitful, that the narcissist wants to always be loyal and be with that person, you know, forever, and they can offer this and they can offer that. And generally with the future faking, the things a narcissist will promise you in relation to happiness and even materially sometimes won't actually occur. It's, in the old-fashioned terms, called temptation. It's carrot dangling like a carrot on a stick. Follow the stick, but you can never get the carrot. You might get a little munch on the carrot, but you're not actually ever going to be satisfied and get that carrot, because the narcissist is wagging the stick around with the carrot to a lot of different people at the same time, believe it or not. And I know people say, and Paula, the narcissist I was with didn't cheat. They were, you know, really caught up in their work life and they wouldn't have had time to cheat. They may not have actually physically cheated, although I'll have to hold that out and say it's unusual if they don't at some stage, but they will have lined people up with whom they would move on with. So deceit is just part of the way they live their lives. They'll tell one person one thing and tell another person another thing. They can't actually walk in a straight line, to be honest with you. But some of them are very good at covering it up, and people don't actually realise till the very end of the relationship with the narcissist that they were with a narcissist. They're that good sometimes at driving you forward to compete for them and the relationship, promising wonderful things and basically selling you your dream and letting you live the potential of the dream for a certain length of time. And then they pull the rug out from under you and you realise then the amount of deceit that was actually going on in the relationship and how they actually nearly got you to deceive yourself because you knew that this person had something wrong with them. But at times the relationship was so good that it was too hard to turn your back on, and you invested so much in it that moving away from it or ending it, you would have felt dissatisfied that you might have been missing out on something wonderful. That's the way they set you up, basically. Number four, infidelity and adultery is a common aspect with narcissists if you're in an intimate relationship with them. They just don't value people as, they don't see your soul. They never see a person's soul. They know that your soul per se exists in you and that you have potential to be a very good and beautiful person, but they see you more as an object of gratification for what they can get from you and from what they can get you to do for them and give them and what they can take from you. So it doesn't cost them a dime to cheat in relationships. It's part and parcel of who they are, basically. If you were to think about how could they do that to me or how could they do that to that lovely person, you're thinking from your own perspective, you know, and that person was so good to them and they went off and did this. They don't see it like that. They see it as changing cars, basically, or changing washing machines. There's just different aspects to people that once they decide that they're going for that, they'll go for that. Number five, dishonourable. Narcissists are dishonourable in both word and deed. So they may promise people, they may promise loyalty, they may promise love, they may tell you that they're going to do something, they may ask you for a loan and say that they're going to pay it back. These things do not happen. They do not honour the word. They do not honour the deed. In fact, a lot of the time I would have coaching clients coming on saying that the narcissist gave them a very good reason for them to say, put the narcissist on the name of the deeds of their house because they were going to get married the following month and you just moved into a house, or the narcissist borrowed a lot of money, you know, with a very good cause, like a a morally good cause, or that the narcissist's parent was sick and they needed the money for that and they'd pay the person back, or they needed the money for a business and they were getting on their feet and then both of you would have a great life. Those type of debts, those type of commitments, those type of promises go out the door the minute the narcissist needs something else from somebody else. That's just your fault for, you know, having been stupid enough in their mind to give them the money, and you gave them the money. So obviously, you know, you said you loved them. So, you know, you wouldn't want it back. Like, why would you want it back when you said you loved them? That's the kind of thought process they go through if they're asked to justify it or be held accountable for that. Or they'll future fake again and say, I will be paying you back, but it won't be now. It'll be way down the road, you know, when I get back on my feet again. And I thought you loved me, so why are you demanding the money back now just because the relationship is over? These are the type of things they'll throw out at you when you ask them to be honourable about something. It's not going to happen with a narcissist. So think on that if you're thinking of returning to one. You know, you can never rest. You can never feel safe. There is no sense of security or honour from this person. Number six, and I'd say most people are familiar with this, because I remember, you know, on a few instances with narcissists when this happened, when I came across this, I was absolutely, I couldn't speak, which is quite unusual for me, as you can imagine. The wrath of a narcissist, the rage, the eyes, the black eyes, the finger pointing, the gesticulation, the insults thrown at you, things you couldn't even imagine yourself being. They might hit one or two things that you kind of go, they have a fair point there. But then they go way off the Richter scale and you're going, that's just not me. But who is it? Who actually is it? It's generally what the narcissist is made up of or is doing. So the wrath and rage that narcissists have, they carry that on a daily basis, bubbling underneath. Because with the other, as we say, sins, and this for the sake of this podcast, with the other jealousy, envy, covetousness, dishonourable conduct, deceitfulness, they're all the time feeling they're entitled to what other people have and they don't have it. Because as I said, even if they're billionaire status, they're still wanting what somebody else has. And that could be coveting their neighbour's wife or husband. There's always something missing that's not quite clicking all the pieces together. So they're annoyed that somebody else has something that they believe they should have. And they're annoyed that they have to work or they have to put effort in to get what they want. So they're actually annoyed at people they're in relationships with, because when that person starts to say, hey, can I have some of my own needs met? The narcissist is rageful at the thought of you asking them for something from them to you, when they have bestowed on you this wonderful person that you should be groveling on the floor and grateful for, and definitely not asking anything of them. You should be so appreciative of the narcissist as they rode in on their donkey, as I say, to put a bit of humour into it. You should have been bowing down and scraping the ground and, oh la la, oh la la, come in, you're so wonderful. Unbelievable, guys, unbelievable. And number seven, and the very last one I have down here in relation to the seven sins of the narcissist, is pride. It's like they live in an illusion of the false mask. So their sense of pride is all bound up with their superiority, their lack of accountability for anything they do wrong. So if they're being accused of anything, they again, all of the other parts come in, like the wrath, the rage. How dare you is a term often used by narcissists. Leave in the comments if you've had that said to you. It's basically a kind of an attitude of, you have the audacity to say that? You. And it's you, you little worm, have the audacity to speak to me on my donkey. How dare you? So they feel that they're better than others. They feel that they're entitled to more. They feel that they're very special. And while there's nothing wrong with people feeling that they're special, it's all the other things that go with the way the narcissist feels about themselves. They feel they're more important than anybody else. They feel that word omnipotent. They feel godlike. And they don't see value in other people other than what those people can do for the narcissist, how they can serve the narcissist and be of a benefit, be a beneficial value, whether that's materially or whether it's doing for the narcissist, whether it's helping them get an in a society or a workplace. You have to be a benefit to the narcissist to be of temporary value. And that value does not last as long as it doesn't last once you become not valuable, basically, to the narcissist anymore. Once they've used up all of your capabilities, if you've basically got them in, say, to a society or a club or whatever, once they're in and you're not important in the club or you don't elevate them in any way, you're wiped out, you're forgotten. You didn't ever exist to the narcissist until such a time as your name might come up and they can use that to say they know you, then they'll befriend you again and you'll be used again. But just going back to the seventh sin of pride comes before a fall. But with the narcissist, they still don't learn, even if they fall down because of their prideful attitude. They will not be accountable for anything that will have caused the fall. They just feel that they have a right to do what they want, say what they want, be what they want, and discard people as and when they want because they are so amazing. And you know, and I know, that is so far from the truth, it is just not true. So guys, that's it in a nutshell. You know, that's the type of energy that you'll experience around a narcissistic individual. And in a way, and this is just a little part to the end of the podcast, when people are on a healing journey and they get towards the very end, and it's a very difficult journey. And because it's so difficult, overcoming and healing is wonderful because you've put so much effort in and you've gone through a type of an initiation barrier. You see the world with totally different eyes. And I think you reach an energetic level where you can recognize energy from people. That's the best way I can describe it. Spiritual energy from a person. And even passing them by on the street. And I know people might say that's a load of rubbish and you're entitled to say so. But you get to be able to pick up, it's like a seventh sense, on who the person is, nearly without even talking to them. If they have a very strong narcissistic energy, you will recognize that vibration. That's the best way I can describe it. So again, if you've experienced this, please leave in the comments, because I really and truly believe that people that go over to the dark side, and that includes narcissists, psychopaths and sociopaths, are really there to try and disabuse people of light, of goodness, and try and turn them basically to the dark side. if that's not too far a reach or deep a reach. And I do think the next podcast should center around the whole idea of why we meet narcissists and why you have to go through such a difficult time recovering from a narcissist, and is there any benefit to that journey for humanity and for you? That's it for today. Please take very good care of yourselves, and we will see you again as soon as possible. Bye for now.